Episode 311, How to Turn Your Sadness into Joy. So today's episode will be a little bit different, everybody. Welcome, by the way, to the daily edition of the Trig Podcast of Joy. It's going to be a little different only in that I'm going to be a little more contemplative, a little more thoughtful, and maybe a little less hypey, at least in terms of the intro. And the reason is because I've been feeling that God has been talking to me a lot about just my inner life. And I want to share with you kind of what I'm talking about so that perhaps if you have been running ragged, you're feeling exhausted, you've been accomplishing a ton of things, and yet you feel like there has to be something more, that perhaps you can relate to my journey through that exact thing, and maybe where I'm finding my footing once again, where I'm finding my rest. Because I believe that God doesn't want us to be exhausted or to lose control or to be upset all day long. He wants us to live in His peace and His rest. That's what His word says. He says that He wants us to enter His rest. And that's not talking about death or heaven. We're talking about the rest of God here on earth. He says in the Gospels that His yoke is easy, His burden is light. And so if your yoke right now, your work, your life, your burdens are not easy, are not light, then something is wrong. And we need to discuss that, and we need to learn from each other. And so I hope that my story, especially here the last few years, can help you understand how to enter the rest of God. So first of all, I want to talk to you about the kind of the ups and downs of being in Enneagram 3, which long and short of it, it means that I'm a success-driven kind of person, an achiever. And perhaps you can relate to that. I think that most of my listeners or the friends that I surround myself with are very similar in that they also want to save the world, right? We want to heal the world, like the old 80s song used to say, heal the world. And the problem is that it's never enough. You feel like you're never there. You want more out of life. And although that is mostly a great thing and a wonderful attribute, it can create a ton of tension, stress, anxiety, feelings of failure and shame that then leave you doubting yourself. Or maybe, as it happens to me often, when you fail, then you feel like either you can't talk about those failures or you feel that somehow they bring you so low, they bring you down so much that you wonder if you're good at anything, if you're worth, if you're just good at all. It just, you lose perspective. And so I want to tell you a few stories of kind of what's happened to me in my recently to kind of heal me or begin the healing process from success to grace. I remember a time, maybe it was it's been more like 2 to 3 years, when I basically got kicked out of my seminary. I've been at Fuller Seminary for, I don't know, 5 years now, I think, just taking one class at a time. And I think I either got a bad grade, or maybe I didn't turn in a final, or something happened. And it happened probably because of some sort of mental health issue, maybe depression or anxiety or just, you know, life that happens. And I don't know for what reason they sent me a letter basically firing me from Fuller. And for an Enneagram 3 success-driven type, I mean, it's taken me, 3 years to even admit that to myself, much less to record this in a podcast, because of the deep sense of shame. And obviously all of us would feel shame over this. By the way, I got back in, but I want to tell you the story of how and just kind of what that taught me. But it's probably been one of the biggest failures of my life because of what I just desire to be. I desire to be a success. And to me, education and letters next to my name, MA, MS, PhD, DR, all those things are hugely important to me, more than they should. And so when that day came, when that happened, I got that letter or email, whatever it was, I remember calling one of my mentors, Teresa. And up until that time, my mentor and I had sort of just a normal relationship. She would pray for me and we'd talk about life and ministry. But that day, of course, I called my wife, but the second phone call was to my mentor, to Teresa. And she literally walked me through maybe one of the worst days of my life. She prayed for me, healed for me. She kicked me around. I mean, meaning in the best sense of the word, she kicked my butt saying, what are you going to do about this? Do you want to stay at Fuller in seminary and finish this degree or not? And I remember saying to her, I want nothing more than to finish this. And so she said, well, try this, this, and that. And long story short, I wrote some letters and all. I had to go through a whole process to be readmitted. And I got back in. And now I'm just a few classes away from finishing this degree. And that I don't know, that you know, when every time that I mention or I tell the story of these quote failures, they never sound as epic as I felt them. But trust me, when those moments hit, they are devastating to me. I lose all perspective. My whole world basically is turned upside down because of those deep level of those deep feelings of shame and of failure. Failure, that's all I can say. In the Enneagram 3, that's our favorite word. Is next to success is the word failure. And yet, it was in that moment of failure when God appeared through my friend and my mentor, Teresa. And there is no success that can compare to that moment of her reaching out and literally picking me up from the pit and setting my feet upon a rock, like Psalm 40 says. And I think that for Enneagram 3s, I struggle with not having feelings. You know, I often feel like a robot. Like I'm just doing the right things to succeed, to accomplish goals, to get the job done. And I see people as part of a puzzle that I'm putting together to accomplish this beautiful art, piece of art, or this beautiful song. And I often miss the chance to not only love people, but to be loved by them. And that is, I think, maybe the biggest failure or loss of being an Enneagram 3, and yet that's what God is showing me. Meaning that's what I'm growing in. I'm learning to be human, to not have my guard up so high that only certain people can relate to me. When in reality, anyone and everyone can relate to being dropped from a class or not passing a class or failing at school. I mean, everyone can relate to that. But no one can relate to being perfect. That's impossible. And yet I think that somehow being perfect is a way that I'm going to inspire others and I'm going to be the best example that I can be by being perfect, when that's just silly. People can only relate to failure. And even if some people will laugh or mock or think less of me, that might be the very thing that I need, is to have people just think normally of me. Not because, as I've often been told, everyone can see right through my little act anyway. So what's the point of keeping the mask on? What's the point of talking big when everyone sees that I'm just a normal guy? And so what I've been learning in my life lately is just to let my heart speak, you know, just to actually let my heart lead me. You know, like when the other day I was meeting with our team and we were talking about just different projects and plans for the future. We were eating together. And then we just got talking about marriage and relationships, and some of the people on the team, their divorced, or they maybe have been through challenges and, you know, just normal life. And suddenly one of the girls began to cry about just about choices in her life and how she is so thankful for how God has brought her out of these difficulties. And then another lady who's a little older just reached across the table and just grabbed her hand. And they began to cry together. And she said, "I understand." And, you know, when you're an Enneagram 3, a success-driven person who's always wanting more and who's always feeling like a failure, those moments are everything. That's what matters. And by the grace of God, you know, being at this small church where I'm not preaching 5 messages, I'm not in front of 1,000 people or even 100 people, it's these things that are touching my heart. And guess what? I used to be at the big churches, and I was never moved in the ways that I'm being moved now. I love my church. I love the people. I love how the people hurt me and how I also hurt them, because it's a normal relationship. I'm not some guy on a pedestal acting perfect, and they're not just people showing up and putting in their 2 hours a week and giving $100 a month or $10 a month. It's not just an agreement. It's an actual marriage. It's an actual love relationship. And that's what I love. And if I had the success that I die for, I would never slow down enough to feel the love of the people. I would never slow down enough to have lunch with my team and see them reach across the table and hug each other and pray for each other. I would be leading and just coming up with the next new plan and implementing this and preaching that and singing this. I mean, what's the point of that? Jesus said it perfectly. What's the goal if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? And yet, when you begin to lose your soul, or I don't know, whatever, you know, meaning when you do have those beautiful conversations without the success, without the failure, or without meaning the success, and you are failing, that's when the test is really strong. That's when it gets hard. And that's why my phone conversation with my friend Teresa is such a beautiful moment for me that I will never forget. You know, another story that I will never forget is when I got beat up in school. I got beat up twice by this kid who wanted to tease my sister. And I usually tell the story in a heroic way, like I protected my sister. And truth be told, I did. This idiot didn't get to my sister. But in the process, I didn't fight very well, and I got hit a couple of times, and I went home literally crying. And even though, yes, I defended my sister and I protected her, I still to this day, I mean, what, 40 years later, I still feel embarrassed that I wasn't a great fighter, that I didn't, I did swing, I did defend myself, but at least from what I remember, he got the best of the whole thing. And because of my sense of wanting to be the best at everything, I still feel shame over that, when the reality is that the grace of God, meaning I protected my sister. I protected her twice from this idiot that, whatever, wanted to bully her. And to this day, I feel so thankful and so proud of that, even though it was at my expense. And it is a beautiful metaphor for how life is. You know, sometimes we may think, oh, I failed, but really God won because his grace was there. When I failed at a school, Teresa was there, and that was the grace of God. When I couldn't beat up the other kid, the grace of God was there that I protected my sister. When my parents and I were in this car and we were crossing this little river that was supposed to be very safe, and then the water suddenly began to rise and we were about to drown, I'm the one that got out of the car and pushed the stupid car through the river. That was 12, 10. And yet I'm the same kid who felt so scared at 30 to drive a van in the middle of the city. I felt so nervous that I was sweating the whole time because I had never done it before. And I wish I could relive the actual feelings. I still struggle to even actually feel how that felt because I always want to put a positive spin on things or be a hero because I was a hero. I did drive the van. I did get people to and fro wherever we were going. I did rescue my sister. I did protect my parents. I did get back into school. But instead of thinking that I failed in the process or that I wasn't perfect, I'm learning to realize that those moments of failure actually opened my heart to see God work, to see somebody else actually show up and minister to me. I have this one beautiful friend who's in his maybe 60s or 70s. And the first time that he came into my office, I didn't quite know kind of what he was talking about or what he wanted. So he gave me he told me some things. And at first I was a little, I don't know, concerned, I guess, or maybe even, just unsure of what he meant by the stories. They were very personal stories. And I was a little, just surprised by the honesty of his stories. And so then we went through sort of a breakup, I guess you could say. I kind of didn't really want to spend too much time with him for maybe a week or two. And I kind of thought, I don't know where this is going or what's this all about. Well, long story short, a few months after that, he gave me a card. And next to the card, he bought me a beautiful gift of a boat. And the boat, or maybe it was the card, it said that how God will lead us through rough waters. Just to trust him and to let him basically drive the boat. And you don't know how often I still have that gift on top of my piano, how often I have thought of him and that boat and that gift and felt embarrassed, I guess, of how I was judging him or I just didn't know kind of what was up. And yet how this man who is broken, just like me, blessed me because I was humble enough to accept the love of somebody else, even though they're not perfect, because guess what? I'm not perfect. And I feel like sometimes we miss, at least for me, I miss the boat. I miss the very thing that I'm looking for because of my pride or my ego. Because I'm so driven to succeed that I miss the beauty of the process, of the journey, of the actual people that I get to do things with. Of the joy of failure, of the joy of not succeeding, because in that unsuccess I find the grace of God. And the grace of God is what heals my brokenness. And the grace of God is what gives me the humanity to speak and to love and to mentor other people. And that's what I love more than anything. And that's what I want to do in the kingdom of God to my wife, to our children, to myself, and of course to my church and to the community around it. So I told you that this episode would be a little more contemplative, and I hope that through my story you can pick up a few tips. Maybe if I can summarize, maybe just the one thought. The main idea that I hope to communicate is that failure is the empty oracle for the grace of God. Failure is the empty container that is filled by the grace of God and then pours out to others. I mean, that's really the gospel, isn't it? It's in the death of Christ that his life enters and his resurrection pours out to you and me. A new life, a new beginning. My prayer for you today is that in your failure, in your lack of success, in the normalness of your life, you would realize that the grace of God is increasing, that you would know that it is in your averageness, being an average Joe, that the grace of God becomes greater still. For the sake of everyone that you love, for everyone that you have a heart, for everyone that you're called to serve. And that you would know that there's blessing in your brokenness, that there is beauty that comes from ashes, that you are a phoenix that is rising from the ashes. May you know that today. May the grace of God and His face shine upon you this day. Thank you so much for listening. Subscribe, like, and comment. Share this episode with a friend, and I will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.